Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Chertoff from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Coming to you today from Singapore and our Regional Compliance and Ethics Conference there, I am joined by Elaine Koo. Elaine is Director for Compliance for Asia Pacific, except China, for Marriott International. Elaine, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you. Hi, everyone.
So let me start off. From your perspective, what's the first step when starting an investigation?
First step is really all about planning. You need to make sure that you have an investigation plan in place, look through your allegations thoroughly, and figure out what you need to do, where you can get the evidences, and which are the parties involved, and who else can help you to get more information about the subject. Right, and also look into who should be the investigation support for you. You know, whether there's a witness that would sit next to you, or if you're doing it in a video, someone that is sitting next to the subject or the person that you're interviewing. Who is the typist if you're recording down the notes, and the translator if you need it for certain countries.
So one of the things I really liked about your description for the session is you wrote, know your ally or your enemy. What exactly do you mean by that? I imagine there's much more than the obvious of, you know, who really is going to get in the way and who's there to help.
Knowing your ally or your enemy is really to understand who can help you to get the most out from your investigation subject. So when you do the investigations and when you plan out who you're speaking to, the first tip is, of course, talking about the reporter or talk to the reporter. And the reporter should give you some very clear information about what the allegations is about. And you can also determine from there if the reporter is doing it on good faith or not. Then from what the reporter has been telling you, sometimes it will lead on to other people that might be involved in the case or might be other people who can stand as a witness to what the reporter was alleging about. And then that's where you start combing through, like, which are these people? Can you interview them? And when you interview these other people, you would know if this person is going to be very defensive or very neutral, or it's going to give you more information than you need about the subject that you are interviewing about. That's where you start to observe in for these other people that you interview, whether they are sincere or they are truthful or they are just very defensive, because sometimes when you interview especially a employee that is reporting up to the subject, and they may feel loyalty to that particular subject and they wouldn't want to tell very much about any information. But if they had been unhappy or disgruntled for a period of time, that's where you know that there might be more information about the subject that you can use, and use that to play against each other. And lastly, just remind them that, you know, they have a duty to maintain confidentiality, not to let anybody else know of what the questions are with the interviewees that you have gone through, so that it doesn't break the flow. And those who would be able to help you and want you to get through your investigations tend to be able to keep confidential about the whole interview. But if you know that once you interview someone else, another person, one of the other interviewees, or even the subject, and the subject seems to know a lot of information, then you know for sure that someone has leaked out the information, and that's where you start to get a bit of a sense who is your ally or your enemy.
Right, and then obviously you don't want all that information leaking out. Now, when conducting an investigation in Asia, what are the cultural sensitivities that someone needs to be sensitive to, especially people from outside the region who aren't as familiar with them?
In terms of being cultural sensitive to the subjects when, or to the interviewees when you're doing the investigation interview, always be respectful for their cultures. Don't treat them like a criminal up front. Before any admission, the innocent, they are always innocent unless proven guilty. And body language can also be quite different in different cultures. So a Japanese person will not want to look you in the eye, and that's quite true for most Asian cultures. But whereas for a Caucasian, they wouldn't be too shy to look in your eye. And when that happens, you have to determine whether is this person not looking at you when you are questioning them, because you would be looking into the eye, because he's avoiding your question, or is it he's just being culturally not comfortable with, you know, what you are looking at him or her in the eye. So you have to pay attention to that. Always show empathy. I think it works for any culture. Always want to work the best for the company, for that person himself. You can start with things like, I understand you are very uncomfortable, but we need to get through this because it's important for us to know what's the right or wrong situation. And then if there are language barriers or difficulties, make sure that you have a capable translator whom you have briefed before the start of the interview in terms of who is this person and what kind of a interview pointers that you are going to ask this particular person that you're interviewing, so that they can also relate back that same culture, same questions or responses in a very culturally sensitive way.
Management located elsewhere may not understand these issues. They're far away. They don't know the culture as well. How do you effectively help them to understand them?
So for the management, depending on how the reporting of the cases is structured, some of you have committees that would be able to help bring the cases on some periodic basis up back to management level. And sometimes you do not, then you need to make sure that you update them on some basis when the investigation is ongoing. So for high-risk cases, I do recommend that you keep management updated on when you're starting the investigation, and sometime at midpoint, have a short call with them on what's been found so far. And when you are ready to pull out from the investigation, let them know what are the ultimate findings you have and anything else left over that you need to do or determine. So sometimes these management folks are able to give you some tips or other information on other direction or approach that you might need to change to tie up everything together. Very importantly for management, and sometimes there is a big fight, is they like to see the evidences and also the interview summaries, so they will be able to understand what transpired in the case. And in order to help to determine what the right disciplinary actions would be, you like to have a HR person with you. And it's good that you should beforehand compare the severity of the disciplinary actions with past cases across countries and regions, so that management is actually able to accept that you're not being too stringent on some or too lenient on others, and why the rationale or reasons behind it. Okay. And if, you know, all else fails and you might want to form your own support group to back you up, like a chief compliance officer, which most of us would report into, the legal department, internal audit and HR, they will be able to help support like the findings of the case and leading to what actions should be taken on the different individuals or for business reasons.
So finally, interviews are often the most difficult part of the investigation for everyone, both the person who's the subject of it and for people doing the questioning, because you don't want to get anything wrong. What are some tips for making sure the interviews go well?
Well, my very first mantra is plan well. Always be 200% prepared or more. Even you have more information than what you think you should, just keep it with you, just in case it spills out to somewhere else in the investigation. Get to know the subjects that you're interviewing. You know, if you can look into the personnel files, you get a bit of a sense of how and where they have developed in their careers, for example. Look at the interview schedule. So who are their subjects and where you're going to place them? When are you going to interview them? Who is first? who is second, who is third, because the flow, you want to get the flow so that you can get the maximum information out from these people. Data analytics, evidences are very important as well. Keep them handy because you need them to execute out the interview. Whether you can play with them or it's something that you can look back to determine if the subject or the interviewee is speaking the truth. So this is your bounce back response to understand what is the right information that is provided and presented to you. Yeah, when you do questions, don't fix yourself into just interview questions. I always say do pointers, and you brief your partner, so your support group, whether it's the typist or the translator, what the questions are. Because when the responses come out during an interview, it could be quite different. And when it's different, you need to know and be able to quickly adapt and be flexible to see where other aspects you can comb through or what other steps you need to take later on after the interview to determine if you're going on the right direction or strengthen your approach. And then taking the interview notes or summary, and if your company allows, a recording would be good, but not all the companies would agree to that. And of course, learn and watch out for the verbal and non-verbal cues of body language and how a person behaves, responses back to you, to be determined, to be able to determine if he or she is speaking the truth.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us and sharing this wisdom. Thanks so much for sharing it with the group here. I'm Adam Triltaub from SECE and HCCA. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen, and I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.